Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John, and today is a very, very special episode.
Happy.
This is episode 100.
Happy episode 100, buddy.
Be honest with me.
Okay.
Did you expect to get here?
Yes. Yes, okay. I did. Because, okay. No, okay. Whether or not we've enjoyed it, I don't know. That is
too. I have, no, and I've enjoyed every second.
Yes,
I've enjoyed this every has been second. Fun. It's been very difficult not talking about Dune outside of the context of this podcast.
Fair. Fair. That was
because we did establish that rule where it's like, we gotta stop talking. Because we, for a while,
we were talking about it a lot.
We were talking about a lot of shit.
Uh-huh.
And then we're like, we can't anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we'd run out of material on the show. Yeah. And I want reactions to be genuine here.
Yeah.
Yes. I knew that we would get here because I know that we finish things that we start.
Yeah.
Now, ask me on episode 100 of the next movie and I may have a different answer.
No. Well, part two, in my opinion, I think will be an easier movie to podcast about because more shit happens.
True.
So Dune part one, we spent the first 50 episodes world building.
Yeah.
Part two, you're fucking going. Like,
yeah, that's
like true. Your world building in part two is your introduction to Sieges, mm-hmm. Your introduction to Fade Rotha and more of Gady Prime.
Yeah, it's a lot more action packed for sure.
Yeah.
But then again,
then the southern hemisphere of Arrakis.
Yeah. The minutes where we're action focused tend to be our shorter ones, our shorter episodes.
That is true.
Because, you know, the ones that are, you know, real lore and backstory dense, those are the ones we get talking
about. Well, Wednesday's episode this week was a bit of a doozy.
That was a long one, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We'll have to see how that goes. But, yes, I
just want to talk about riding worms.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But yeah, happy episode 100. We did it.
Yeah.
Look,
and to all of our listeners, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for sticking around.
We appreciate it. We appreciate the social media engagement. We appreciate, you know, that we've got people in every continent in the world.
Almost. Not
Antarctica, but
we get
there's only a couple of research stations down there. If we get people listening in Antarctica, that'd be crazy.
Listen. Was it McMurdo Station in Antarctica?
I have no idea what any of the stations are. All I know is that like there's like NASA stations down there for like geological research, and they're also like doing, you know, testing to determine if like certain bacteria strains can exist in like harsh conditions. But
so what we're saying is Antarctica is primarily inhabited by scientists.
Yes.
AKA nerds.
Yeah, but they're also scientists that probably don't have time to listen to.
They got 15 minutes. All right, here's a call to action. If anyone knows how to get it down there, it can be. We'll play a game
just
of telephone.
Listen to a single episode and Antarctica.
Get us in Antarctica. That is my episode 100 call to action for the group.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can do it.
We don't talk a lot about like some of the like metrics and stuff.
Sure.
But, yes, we are in almost every continent in the world,
mm-hmm.
with the exception of Antarctica, but you know, that's a whole different story. We recently passed 2,500 downloads,
which is great,
which is awesome. Thank you guys a bunch.
2,400 more than I expected.
Yep. We have, in terms of like popularity, obviously the US is one of our most, mm-hmm. you know, popular countries. Shout out to, I guess it's one person in Belgium that has listened to like nearly every episode. We see you
there. So while yes, the US is our, like where most of our listeners reside or, you know, are downloading the episodes.
We have a lot in Europe as well.
Europe actually started off faster than the US did.
Yeah.
So we had folks listening in Germany, in the UK, in Belgium.
But our first international was an Aussie.
That's true. That's very true. And we've grown
to
in
the Aussies. We see you down there as well.
We've grown in Australia a little bit.
I hope the world upside down is not as confusing as it would seem to be.
It's been real fun. This has been a great, I guess in our recording timeline, because, you know, if it wasn't already evident, we record these 5 at a time, at least.
Yep.
Sometimes 10 at a time.
Those weekends days. Are rough.
those are long recording days, but, we record these 5 at a time. And, so in our timeline right now, it has been 3 months for us recording this?
No, we started recording this back in April.
Okay. So 4 months,
almost 5.
Okay. Yeah. Coming up on 5.
Cause it's August 25th today.
Okay. So yeah. So coming up on 5 months.
So,
So 5 months. And by the time we're done with this, I suspect it'll be, you know, a solid 6 months of recording every weekend for us.
Yeah.
And, it'll just be up to the release schedule at that point.
Yeah.
Thanks for sticking around. It's appreciated. I don't have a lot of words to say because I'd never expected, you know, many people other than you and I to listen to this.
And like our closest friends or whatever. And like they would get tired of it very quickly because they hear our dumb voices enough as is. So,
And I know some folks who gave some real honest feedback towards the beginning of releasing, saying that
which is why we remastered episodes 1 through 5.
Yep, those first episodes were a real slog to get through. So if you stuck it out past that, I mean, I'd say we really kind of fell into it at the third week of recording. Like
that was the week that we had to
the second week
was the week that we had to re-record because
those are lost episodes.
Got messed up in editing or something. It wasn't editing. Something happened with Adobe Audition where it just like didn't play nice or whatever. So,
but honestly, man, it was when we got that third week is when we got mic arms because we were holding microphones in our hands the first couple of weeks.
Yep. And lots of bumps and and everything. So
once we got mic arms and you know, you've had the same mic since we started this. I've upgraded once up to the classic Shure SM7DB for me. Because I didn't want to get the external amplifier, but some equipment upgrades here and there. The quality has risen, so hopefully that's noticeable on the listener's end. I think it is. And if you stuck with us through the times where it was less than ideal, I super appreciate that. because as someone who listens to a lot of podcasts, audio quality is a real big factor on whether I continue with one. So hopefully it's good now.
We were joking about releasing a special cut of like all of the coughs and sneezes and stuff that we've had to cut out, but we're going to spare y'all's ears for that because there's a lot. We have probably a good, like, if I had to guess, 15 minutes of it just in total.
And this, this, I'm just going to gush just a little bit more about the show and we'll get into it.
It's our time, man. This is episode 100. We're going to fucking,
we're pulling back the show.
We're hyping ourselves up a little bit here.
There's a lot of work that goes into this. I know it's a quick, 15, 20, 25 minutes of your day. And, but the behind the scenes work that goes into this, is a lot more than I expected it to be.
Yep. And frankly, you do most of it because you're the one that actually edits these. I just handle all the social and thumbnails and stuff, which is not very difficult. If I'm going to be honest, I just grab a screenshot from the minute that we pull into and I've got my preset in GIMP for text or right text. Which one are we doing today?
Fair enough. I have just a not disdain, but an interest in social media. So, When I first spun up the Instagram account, I was like, oh, cool. I care nothing about opening this app. So you quickly took that one over and you're doing a lot more than I ever did with it. So
yeah,
I appreciate that. In terms of editing, I mean, like it's something that I knew how to do prior to starting this project. Just past jobs had some audio editing components to them, at least from a teaching standpoint. That was something I was happy to do. Happy to get back into that, you know, flex those muscles. But yeah, just, you know, from writing the notes to doing the editing to making sure everything's coming out on time to going back and correcting mistakes after they've been released.
To putting in elevator music.
Yeah, yeah. All the little sound effects that I drop in occasionally. You know, that takes a good amount of time. That's not my job. It's not my full-time job. Anyways, nope. We both have full-time jobs outside of this. So this is truly a, you know, a passion project. And at least as far as I'm concerned, will continue to be that way.
Yeah.
Someone
wants to give me money.
You know, this is a project that we set out on. And one of the early things that we agreed upon was no ads. You know, this is not a money-making venture for us. No. You know, these are quick things. And if
mostly because I don't want to deal with the taxes.
Sure, fair.
All of that too.
Yeah, that's very fair.
It's just annoying.
John and I are fortunate enough for the majority of the run of this podcast to be gainfully employed.
Damn, you're just going to put me on blast like that. getting laid off and everything halfway through.
Hey, you're back.
Give me more time to get, you know, I think that's when I started taking over the socials and stuff and doing the thumbnails because I had the time to do it, because what else was I going to do?
That is the past now. You are gainfully employed once again. So
putting my employment record out on blast.
Hey, when I am unemployed and we're still doing this, you can put me on blast. But yeah, I mean, this is literally something that we do, you know, nights and weekends kind of stuff. So it's not our source of income, and I don't want it to become that. I have a longstanding kind of ethos about myself that with any kind of project that I do, whether it's an arts and crafts or this or, you know, whatever, that as soon as you bring money into it, it stops becoming a hobby. It starts becoming a job.
Yep. That's why, so outside of this, both of us are musicians and everything. Music will never and was never intended to be a job for, I think, either of us because of that exact reason. No. Because I do that for fun. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a brief period where, you know, I was, you know, streaming on Twitch and stuff, and not with any intention of making that a thing, but I found myself coming to very much dislike playing video games because of that. And I was like, no, fuck that. I'm just going to go back to like playing games because I think they're fun. So I think if we did this for any kind of business goal or financial goal, both of us would hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. It would definitely take a lot of the joy out of doing this. So my pledge to everyone who's stuck around this long is that it will continue to be ad free.
And we're going to continue to do it as long as, you know, well, first of all, we're happy with it.
Yeah, as long as we want to.
But as long as people want to continue to listen to it, we're going to keep on doing it as well. So.
Yep. So all that to say, big
thank you.
Yes. Big thank you to everyone out there who's just been a part of our little small community that we've grown, which has been real nice. So with that, I think that's all the
gushiness for now.
Yeah.
We got to still talk about this trip that Paul's having because, spoilers, it's not going to end today. We're still going to be tripping balls into next week.
That's right. So we're talking about minute 99 through 100.
Correct. Of Dune Part 1 by Denis Villeneuve.
Yep. And this minute begins mid-fight.
Yep.
And it ends mid-flight.
All right. Nice.
Nice. Right? Pretty good. I thought that was I mustered my two brain cells and I've come up with a nice
mushed
joke.
Them together for that one and said, oh, there it is. So we ended last minute with Paul doing his Power Ranger kickflips and everything.
Well, we don't know it's Paul. This was a big reveal.
Oh, that's true.
This was a big reveal.
It was the Fremen doing the, you know, Power Ranger ass. Hold on. What was the note?
Anime flips?
No. Leaping out of the sands and doing some Power Rangers ass flips and shit, ending with a slash motion to kill a Sardaukar.
Right.
And then the minute continues with this one Fremen that we're focusing on just going ham on Sardaukar.
Running through him.
Yeah, just like fucking cranking that KD with more Power Rangers shit. We see dust exploding and Shai-Hulud is just like breaching from out from the sands beneath. This Fremen stabs a Sardaukar in the neck, and then the mask itself undoes itself.
Yeah, Iron Man style.
Iron Man style, and we have Paul Atreides himself inside the suit. And this is the first time that we see Paul with the eyes of Ubad.
It's true. Can I pick a nit real quick?
I have many nits to pick here.
Okay.
So pick your nit, and I'm going to just go into picking nits as well.
Okay. Maybe this ties into your nits as well, but is this bad CG?
Horrible.
Okay. All right. I was like, I couldn't put my finger on.
This
I was
is
like,
worse than the desert CG that we had.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is by far the worst single minute, I think, for CG. Maybe not the worst single minute, because there's other much better CG later.
Yeah.
But this scene right here, the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like,
his
face looks too big.
Is too big. The lighting is off. There's something that's just weird and going on. I will say, the CG of our old man of the desert in the background breaching like a fucking whale.
Yeah.
Love that. 10 out of 10.
Yep.
Paul's face. What the fuck? What was that?
Don't enjoy that. It's very few times where I think we like say we don't like a portion of this movie.
That is definitively a portion that I do not like.
Yeah.
And I wonder. So let me background a little bit. Arden Soul of Dune sits next to me whenever we record this podcast, because it's just a little.
Not sponsored, but heavily referenced.
Correct. Arden Soul of Dune sits next to me while we do this, because I just like to have it as a reference material. The scene where Chani is in her white shawl, just kind of like leading the camera. That was not shot in Jordan or Saudi Arabia, where they shot everything else. That was shot in California. Which makes me believe that there may have been a different scene planned.
Okay.
That was possibly cut, and this was like a last minute addition, which would explain also why the CGI on Paul's face is such ass.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know that for certain.
It's just not good.
It's not good. Yikes. I think what might have happened was they had planned to show the skirmish between the Fremen and the Sardaukar, because that CG is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the acrobatics are wonderful.
The acrobatics and everything are great. And then we get, I'm gonna fast forward through this minute here, because we then get the cut to Caladan, where there are the Fremen in their armor still suits, which I'm gonna go back on that here in a second. So there's continuity there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what had happened was they had stopped filming, and it was still just the armored face. And then they said, you know what, let's reveal it to show Paul. And that I think it's a miss.
Yep. I think so too. This movie's got very few misses, and this is for sure one of them.
This is definitely one of the misses.
Maybe the most egregious one, in my opinion. At least what we've seen so far.
Yeah. That said, I understand why they added it, because they wanted to put Paul, for two reasons. One, they wanted to put Paul in the center of the conflict. Two, they wanted to show that Paul integrates himself into Fremen society.
Mm-hmm.
And for all intents and purposes, becomes as close to Fremen as he can.
Sure.
By, being on Arrakis as long as he is, which that's another nit that I have to pick, but we'll talk about that with part two.
Yeah.
Because that's much more relevant to then. But he does develop the eyes of Ubad, just like anyone else that's exposed to spice for an extended period of time. We see that earlier with the spice harvester workers as well.
Yeah.
So we know that it's not like an inherent, like, Fremen are born with it trait kind of thing. Maybe it's Maybelline.
I was just thinking, I was like, maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's spice melange.
My second nit to pick.
Okay.
Why did they use tan still suits when we know that, their still suits are just black, and there's an inconsistency there. I understand that it's camouflage armor to, you know, hide with the sands and everything.
That's where I'm putting it.
But it's like, in part two, we see them all in their regular still suits and everything. They don't have the... They kind of do. Chani kind of does have that sandy armor. Yeah. But it's not...
Well, I mean... And
it's more plated and less still suity.
Yeah. I'm having trouble remembering the second part right now. But, I mean, they're... I don't know. I mean, at this point in this vision that we, you know, there's been a regime change within the Fremen.
Sure.
You know, maybe Paul instituted some Caladanian structures and gave them all, you know, uniforms.
I mean, Gurney Halleck, as we know in part two, is alive, you know, maybe not in this version of the vision that Paul has, but who's to say that he doesn't, you know, provide any kind of insight or anything from his expertise as well.
Like, sure.
I understand. And I understand that this is a branching vision of the future.
Yeah.
So they're allowed some room with the inconsistencies and everything. But what I won't allow is just the shitty CGI.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, we'll move past it, but yeah, it's not very good.
Yeah.
A rare miss. But we cut back to Paul after this, the CGI face. Yep. We cut back to Paul in the tent, still going through it. He's shedding some tears. We hop back into his visions and we see the same Chris knife. Just
processing everything.
Yeah.
And it's the same. So we, last episode we talked, two episodes ago, we talked about them reusing shots. This is a shot that was reused. But
for good reason.
This was the shot of the Chris knife that we talked about back in episode 72.
Okay.
I went back and checked.
Good. Thank you.
But it's important because it is the Chris knife that Chani gives Paul.
Yeah.
It is the knife that he uses to kill Jameis and becomes his Chris knife.
Mm-hmm. Spoilers.
Oops. And then we cut to a pile of burning bodies.
Many piles.
Many.
Lots many, of many, piles many, 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 many. Of very, very I'm large sure that piles.
Smells fantastic.
Yeah.
Lots of... If you've ever smelled burning hair before, you know just how gross it smells.
A bunch. A bunch of dead bodies and huge piles being burned. For the life of me, I could not see any kind of like... defining insignia on the bodies. I assume that they were Atreides.
I assume the Atreides because we have from Paul's prescience in the Gom Jabbar moment, the burned hand with the missing ring finger.
Okay.
Giving us the shocker.
Yeah.
We have that moment to symbolize the death of Leto.
Yeah.
So I would assume that this is the burning of Atreides soldiers. However, it could be attributed to the burning of Harkonnens as well, because we see at the end of part two Fremen igniting the bodies of Harkonnen soldiers
right
before they leave and begin their jihad.
I couldn't decide. My money's still going to be on it, this being Atreides. But it could be anyway. It's just
I agree with you. In this moment, I'm assuming Atreides.
Yeah. The point that they're trying to get across is that lots of people are dying.
Mm-hmm.
A whole heck of a lot of people are dying. So we cut back to Paul and he says...
He is stressing out in this moment.
Yeah. His eyes are closed. Were they
open?
They're open. Okay.
Yeah.
His
eyes will remain wide throughout this whole...
Yeah, so part of his vision. Like his waking dream that he's having is he said that's the future. It's coming. And the camera moves over to Jessica and she looks creeped the fuck out with what's going on with Paul.
So I think this is her moment of recognizing, oh, I'm fucking up, because she's bringing hundreds, if not thousands of years of Bene Gesserit breeding directly into this tent that is buried under the sand.
Yeah.
On Arrakis. It is just a super spice concentrated air.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just letting it's just fucking going ham on Paul's entire like system.
Yeah, I mean,
there's nothing she can do to stop it.
This is because
if they expose themselves, then they're potentially, you know, going to be found. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And then we go back to our sepia tone vision.
Yeah, we're back in Mexico.
Back in Mexico, Chani's walking slowly, but this time one of her hands is absolutely drenched in blood,
just covered.
Like it's not dripping; it's like falling off, kind of drenched. I thought about using that for the thumbnail for this. I decided against it.
Okay.
Just because.
Let's keep it PG-13.
Yeah. Don't know how, if Apple would even care, but you know, whatever. But yeah, so I have a theory on the sepia tone visions versus the clear vision that we had earlier.
Okay.
And this is only like my own theory, but it's like sepia tone is kind of like a wrong version of the vision, whereas the clear is a more accurate version of the vision. Originally it was because he wasn't necessarily exposed to the degree of spice that he is exposed to in the tent.
Okay.
But later on we'll get another clear prescient vision. But also so I'm poking holes in my own theory here, because that that theory in and of itself is wrong, because spoilers for episode 101, Jameis is with Paul in that clear vision as well.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's an interesting decision that was made on Mexico versus not Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can get behind that one fully. And I'm, you know, thinking forward into the movies, we don't get any kind of explanation into the different parts of it. So it's never teased out, but maybe there was a plan to have them being like differentiated a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe the gold overtones of the visions are the golden path.
Possible.
Yeah.
Paul's death at Chani's hand isn't the golden path, though.
We don't know that it's Paul's blood.
No, but previously we see Chani murder Paul.
Or stab him.
Sure.
We don't know if he dies.
But we do know from Paul's golden path that he does take a wound.
Mm-hmm.
Two wounds.
Yeah. So who knows? I mean, the future is ever in motion, as they say.
If you think it's the golden path, email or DM us on Instagram or comment on the post for this episode.
Hashtag.
Or if I'm just completely wrong and off my ass, also yell at me. I don't know.
If you think it's the golden path, hashtag golden path on Twitter. If you think it's not, hashtag golden shower on Twitter.
Oh my God. Shut the fuck up. Get your piss fetish out of here.
Anyways, we'll move past that. I do not have a piss fetish.
You're the one that's implying that people should use hashtag golden shower. So
I just want to fuck up people's search history, man.
Jesus Christ.
So after the bloody hand, we get back to Paul and he's saying holy war spreading across the universe like unquenchable fire.
Yeah. And when he's saying all of this, he's terrified.
Yeah.
Like more so than Jessica was when guys Helen Moheim and other Bene Gesserit appear on Arrakis or mm-hmm. on Caladan.
Yeah.
This is devastating to Paul.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out more on Monday why it's so terrifying to him. But yeah, this is like top number one moment in Paul's life where he is just so beyond scared.
Yeah.
And then we hard cut to cloudy skies in armored Fremen standing in a misty rain.
Yeah. It's not confirmed, but it sure looks a whole heck of a lot like Caladan.
Yes. Chris knives are raised in the air and Atreides banners fly in the wind next to them.
Yeah. And I thought this was such a cool shot. Oh yeah. My gosh. I loved it. Yeah. Really, really nice.
So going back to my like true versus like false paths thing, I'm going to go ahead and call myself out already.
Okay. Your theory is really holding water.
It's not holding water because this is Leto's Atreides banner. As we see in part two, Paul adapts the Atreides banner to also include more Fremen themed color tones and symbolism. Symbolism. You're looking for is symbolism.
What's the symbology there?
Symbolism.
I think you're trying to fit it into a binary. Something that is the furthest something from that a binary.
So just like, yeah.
It's not a binary.
You can't comprehend the mind of the Kwisatz Haderach.
Right.
I'm very likely wrong on that.
Yeah.
But Chris knives are raised in the hands of the Fremen. The Atreides banners are flown as the Fremen are on Caladan. And we get one of my favorite shots.
So before we go, and I know what you're about to say, but
yeah.
Some of the Fremen are dropping to their knees.
Yes.
There looks like some of them are bowing in prayer.
Yep.
It looks like a moment of worship for them.
I mean, Paul is the Lisan al-Gaib after all.
That's true. So. Yep.
We see one of my favorite shots where there's just this Atreides ship floating in the air above these Fremen.
Mm-hmm.
Just like backlit with the light of a sun.
Yeah.
We see the outlines of, and I counted 5 people.
Yep.
Just standing in this like open, like the back of a military plane, how they have those big like open gates and stuff. Same kind of thing here.
Yeah.
And we see Paul standing there at the open gate of one of the Atreides ships hovering over the water. He's backlit by the huge white light. And there are 5 others with him. And thunder is just rumbling in the sky.
So we're for sure it's Paul. I mean, that it can be inferred that it is, but
yeah,
like we don't
see his face. We'll see it at literally the next like 2 seconds.
Oh, okay, but, gotcha. Again, I haven't watched the full movie in a long time, so I don't know what's coming next.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. That is a powerful moment there. Yeah. Just real good.
Yeah,
that's all I got to say about it. It's real good. I do have some book notes, but they're just
this minute is simultaneously the worst and best vision. The worst simply just because of that shitty ass CGI.
Yeah.
With Paul's face.
Yeah. So this moment plays out a little bit different. In the books. So right now, as I said yesterday, Paul is going through his Kwisatz Haderach awakening.
Correct.
but he's still in kind of Mentat mode. So he's taken all this information and he's trying to find ways that they can get off Arrakis. He comes to a bunch of like realizations.
Just build a big ass slingshot.
Yeah, why not? he comes to a bunch of like realizations as he starts to think about what all is happening and the predicament that they're in. He's talking to Jessica at times. And I mentioned that he was getting like frustrated because she was, so slow in her thinking.
Stupid.
Yeah. He kind of stops asking her questions at some point and just starts telling her things.
Yeah.
He mentions things like, there are no weather satellites above Arrakis because it's very clear to him now that the Fremen have paid off the guild to not have satellites because the machinations of the deep desert need to go unnoticed. They don't need to know this stuff.
Yeah.
And he starts to see the guild as like being their best chance of getting off. And he has like this vision. One of his paths that he sees is like him living out the rest of his life, or at least a portion of his life, as a guild navigator, because he can see this future. And he's like, no, it fucking looks boring. I don't want to do that. Yeah. So it's like, so he's like seeing all these things and then it starts to, they start to like heighten in severity and intensity.
Yeah.
And he starts seeing his own death. And he says he saw his own death over and over and over again. He sees all the places that he could lead an army to. Which is what I think we see here in the movie, like the places in Caladan and fighting in the sands, which again are not confirmed. Well, the sands is confirmed because we see the sandworm, but Caladan is not confirmed.
It's so it safe to assume that it's Caladan because it looks very much like the Caladan that we've seen.
Yeah. In terms of like filming locations, it was filmed in the same place.
Yes. So,
he's starting to see all these things and he's seeing, you know, futures, and it's described in the book that, you know, he sees futures both probable and improbable.
But can he see why kids love the flavor of cinnamon toast crunch?
No, that's the thing he's searching for.
Okay.
He just can't see that. and he's still just like input of data.
Yeah.
And he calls them datums, D-A-T-U-M-S. So that's a fun cereal idea.
All right.
a nice bowl of datums.
Special spice melange flavor. Yeah.
So, I'm not going to go too much further into this scene because that's right where our minute ends. We get to see more of it next week. But, he's still just grappling with all of this information that is becoming very apparent to him right now.
Yeah. It's information overload, which is causing emotional overload, which is causing him to panic, and he's seeing the future and it's terrifying.
Yep. And something that continues to pop up as he's going through this is he still is not grieved for his father.
Correct.
He has not had a moment of mental time.
And we will dive into that on Monday.
Yep.
Because that's where it gets weird for him. Yeah. So
that's, I think that's a good, foreshadowing, setting up cliffhanger for next week.
But we're not going to blue balls you like we did last week.
Right.
Yeah. Once again, congratulations on 100 episodes.
Congrats to you, my friend.
Thanks to all of our listeners. And as always, you can find us on Instagram at the Dune Minute. We're on Twitter at Dune Minute, and you can email duneminute@gmail.com. We will be back on Monday for episode 101, and we're going to keep on rolling through all this.
Triple digits, baby.
Hey, let's go.
All right, cool. We'll see y'all then.
See you later.